Supercars,
Super Late Models,
Thundercars,
Modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Here we go once again. 2 hours nonstop racing talk right here on RTR. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior right here in the RTR studio. And if we got a show lined up for you, happy Easter, by the way. You ready to give her?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Bunny Day. Plugging around, man. We haven't left the house much.
No, not at all.
We're talking about racing lots, and there's lots of racing talk out there. There's still news coming down the pipe every single day. It's a different world we're living in.
Yeah, lots of cartoons. Watch the cartoons on Thursday night, the APC iRacing. caution filled, if you want to call it. Luckily, they were counting some yellow laps because I'll tell you, there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
In the qualifier. Watch the 20-lap qualifier. I think there was 3 laps of green.
Yeah.
And then the 100 laps, well, they didn't count the yellows, but I started watching it, then shut it off, watched Grey's Anatomy, which was an hour, and went back to it. It was still on, and I think I only missed 20 laps.
Yeah.
So lots tough of deal. Yellows.
The thing about it is that, there would be more yellows in the NASCAR side of things, you know, on the big leagues side, but they decide not to throw the yellow sometimes. on a real short track and late models, iRacing, there's varying levels of knowledge on how
skill
to get around
set.
These tracks.
Skill
yeah.
set. Yeah.
Yeah, and, a guy who's good in a late model doesn't mean that he's good on iRacing. So, there's definitely everybody's trying out their hand in it and playing around.
Yeah.
And the guys who have put a lot of hours in are good. The Dale Shaws of the world, the Trayton Lapsoviches of the world, they're real good at it. And the other guys, sure, they can lay down a fast lap time here and there. But racing side by side on iRacing on a short track in a late model is difficult. It's very difficult. So
very different.
But at least it's there. It's content. It's something. It's an outlet for racers to still race and still have fun with it. So I love that aspect of it. And watching it, listening to those guys, they did a good job. Watched a little portion of it. They were getting after it. And it was still hard-nosed competition up front. They were still digging.
The land of free tires.
Yes, that's right. The land of free cars, too.
Yeah.
You know,
push reset.
You tell a race car driver that that you don't got to pay for it when you wreck it, and they miraculously go a little bit faster and go a little bit harder, and they wreck more stuff.
Yeah.
But when you look at you have to because you're on such an edge, right? It's just like if you've got all the budget in the world, and there's 25 teams that have all the budget in the world. And nobody's got to fix it.
Yeah.
They're all going to wreck each other. You know, they're all going to drive over top of one another because there's no line.
Yeah.
Right. So, it is what it is. iRacing, it has the potential to be clean and a clean place to race. And I think if they do it 5 or 6 or 7 times, there'll be enough guys mad at each other and they'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
And they'll stop driving over each other.
They'll get a little bit better at it. Let me tell you who we've got coming on the show tonight. We will talk some more iRacing right off the top. I got Tim Terry going to stop by. He is getting ready to do a race tonight. But first, Timmy's going to stop by and tell us what all he's got lined up. He is big into iRacing. He has been for a lot of years, and Tim Terry will stop by. We'll also hear from Nick Sheridan tonight. He drives a sprint car on dirt, not like his brother in the APC series. Nick Sheridan is going to join the show tonight. We'll also talk with Pro Stock Tour number 21, Sean Pierce, out on Canada's East Coast. We'll check in with him. Then, how about the Kubota guy? We've got Jason Hathaway, and the NASCAR Pindy Series going to stop on in. And to wrap the show up, a guy that was all the way over in South Africa, drives the number 73 late model at times here in Ontario. You can see him in a modified. You can see him in all kinds of different configurations of race cars. We got Cole Powell going to join us tonight. He's got a cool story, I bet.
Yeah, for sure. It was him and his buddy, longtime friend Ryan Litt, who jumped on an airplane and went over and took part in the international series over in South Africa. And I'm really looking forward to hearing about it. I followed along on Instagram. He was really active on it, and it was definitely cool to follow along. So definitely some cool stories to come from Cole Powell towards the end of the show.
Lots of great guests tonight, but let's get to the hotline, shall we, and bring in guest number one right off the top, Tim Terry out in Nova Scotia. What's going on, Timmy? How you doing?
Not too bad. Just getting ready for a big sim race, I guess. The only thing that we can do right now with everything going on, and we've got a big one coming up tonight.
Yeah, you've been having big ones just about every night. Tim, you keep busy with iRacing.
Yeah, we do, and it's come full circle pretty much with our local guys. Obviously, they aren't going out and racing, and we don't know the future right now of what's going to go on with the sport. So a couple of weeks ago, about the last time I talked to you guys, there was a couple of guys that said, hey, you're familiar with iRacing, let's get on and do some laps. So I said, okay. It grew to, I think we have 150 drivers right now from Atlantic Canada, and a couple of friends and a couple of buddies that are joining us, and we fill a server of 60 every single night that we race, and we're getting ready here in about 7 minutes to kick off another practice and get some super late model racing, or at least some virtual super late model racing going.
Good stuff. Tim, just the other night, was it Corey Hull that won that race?
Yes, it was. Corey Hull went to victory lane. Neil Crawford and Cody Fink sponsored the race from Salisbury. They race at a Petit International Raceway, of course. And that's the great thing about this. We're able to bring a broadcast crew together and put some racing on the racetrack. Familiar names and familiar voices tonight on the show. If you go to Tim's Corner CA on Facebook, you're going to get to hear Dylan Langell and Mike James call a race. So normality and the same guys that run up front, it seemed to be the same guys that run up front in the sim. Corey Hull took his first win with us. Mike Alexander has been quick. Matt Barkhouse, list goes on and on. And there's guys that are picking it up. Robbie McEwen just got back on iRacing. Kyle Reed's getting back in the swing of things. Nevin Scott. I even seen Terry Duguay's name on here tonight. So there's some names from the Pro Stock Tour that are starting to get back on here.
So all you got to do is pick up a wheel and the pedals, I guess, and then buy a subscription to iRacing and away you go?
That's pretty much it. Make sure you have a decent internet connection to connect yourself to the server. But you've seen what Timmy Hill has used the last couple of weeks on the iRacing Pro Invitational on Fox and TSN. And it's just a wheel connected to a desk with an office chair, and you go racing. And he even said, too, he uses his computer for business stuff for his truck team, and he gets to go racing on it, too. So it's kind of a neat deal there. But we've got a full host of familiar names. The great thing is, too, is you get to see some drivers that, you know, don't really get to race against each other. Bandolero drivers racing against Pro Stock drivers, racing against crew members and fans and all that other stuff. The good problem that we have right now is most of these servers only hold 62 people, and we're up to the point where we're there's people that are getting locked out and not able to get in. So now we have to retool our plan and for the next week and try to figure it all out.
So heat races, how do they get into the main? Because I know you won't start 60 cars.
No, we keep changing our formats, Joe, and that's a great thing with the iRacing heat format. You can run heats, you can run stack consies like the Alphabet Soup does at the Chili Bowl, or you can run separate consies based on where they run from heats and qualifying. Tonight's format actually was picked by Brad Hockaday. If you're familiar with the U.S. Legend Car stuff and a lot of stuff down in the Southeast, Brad Hockaday is one of the voices, the race directors down there. So we actually set up last night till about 1 o'clock in the morning going over format, what we think we should run if we have 60 cars come into the server. At the end of the day, tonight we're going to have 5 heats. We're going to have 3 consies. Going to be quick. It's Lanier Raceway. It's 10 laps. These guys are going to have to get it done. And then we're going to go race for 125 laps. So it's going to be a fun evening of racing. Brad's going to help us make the calls, and that's the great thing. Everybody's everybody wants motorsports right now, and they seem to be rallying around iRacing.
So that's tonight. What do you got coming up through the weeks, just so fans can check it out?
Well, we're going to do broadcasts, I think, on Friday and Sunday, 2 days a week. If you're a business out there and you want to get on and promote your business to, you know, a few thousand brand loyal race car fans in the East, you can. GD Fabrication, Jeff Armstrong tonight has come on board, as well as Fauche Motors in Falmouth. But we do races probably about four times a week. We're going to run the Tour Mod tomorrow at New Smyrna, take Tuesday and Wednesday off, and then probably come back Thursday and Friday. We've got an all-star race coming up in a couple of weeks with all the winners of these races. There's no points, there's no pressure. Just show up, race, and, you know, if you have a bad night and you get caught outside of a heat race, there's always a reset button or there's that X button. You come back, the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and you get to race again tomorrow.
So they can have fun. You know, my final thought for you, because I know you got to run, but maybe this is where we could get all of our dreams to come true and have the APC guys race against the Pro Stock guys one of these nights.
You know what? I'd be all for that. So if the APC guys want to get a hold of me, I'd be all for that. We're still getting some of the Pro Stock Tour guys on. I know Dylan Blankhorn is building a simulator, trying to get back up. Cole Butcher just bought a brand-new computer. Him and Jared are practicing right now for tonight. The list goes on and on. Stevie Lively called me here yesterday about trying to get a computer set up to go. There's still some drivers that are getting antsy and getting ready to go. But, yeah, I would love to see that. We've got some good shoes on the sim. I saw their race on Thursday night. They've got some good shoes, too. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it sure would be. They got a couple guys that need to get more familiarized with it, because that race on Thursday night was kind of brutal at times. But it would be definitely interesting. Maybe you started out in the virtual world like that and then bring it into the real world down the road.
Well, you saw what happened on Fox and TSN with the Pro Invitational iRacing Series. Clint Bowyer even said it, those rivalries that are in the sim, he hopes they carry on to the real world and they get to swap a little paint. That'd be a cool story and something for the fans to follow. So you never know. I mean, Gary Elliott's come down back and forth. J.R. Fitzpatrick's come down. We've seen a couple of drivers go up to Ontario to compete the last couple of years. So maybe it's the start. Maybe we plant the seed.
Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, you got your work cut out for you tonight. You got to keep Mike James in check. That'll be fun.
he saw the iRacing for the first time, or saw what we did for the first time on Friday night. He was pretty excited. I asked him before. I said, hop on with Dylan. We'll shoot the breeze and have a good time. He said, I don't really know. And then all of a sudden, he hopped on. He had a watch party. He said Bob and the crew had it on a big screen TV watching it, and he wanted to hop on. So he's going to be on tonight and having his iRacing debut with Dylan Langille. And the guys from Advantage TV in Iowa are going to be on here as well to help us out a little bit with the iRacing side of things. So going to be a great night. If you miss it live, you can always go back to the Tim's Corner Facebook page and watch. And we're trying to do two a week, so we'll probably see something else come up on Friday and potentially Sunday next week, too.
Sounds good, Tim. You have fun. I know it's going to be grand, and we'll check into it after, I can tell you that.
Sounds good. You're going to have to get on one of our shows, too. We need to get your voice on there. Maybe we can get Jerry and Brad, too.
Ah, wouldn't that be a blast? Yeah. Count me in.
Sounds good. We'll figure something out here down the road.
Sounds good, Tim Terry. You have a good one, my man.
Yeah, you too, guys.
You bet. Tim Terry, timscorner.ca is where you can check it out. Always busy on iRacing, these guys, especially Tim. He's been doing it for years.
Yeah, Tim's been doing it for years. He's been spending lots of time on iRacing, and it's definitely fun, you know, looking at the names that he throws out there, and he touched on it. You know, guys that race Legends cars and, you know, people that have the bug that don't necessarily have the ability to go racing, those guys are typically the guys who are going to do really good at iRacing because they invest the time in it, you know, and, and they get a chance to rub fenders and race with the kings of the sport. It is interesting, you know, talking to DJ Kennington over the last couple weeks, you know, even guys like him DJ is not a simulator guy. DJ is not a video game guy.
He's just getting used to it,
just
right?
Just getting used to it. He's just figuring this whole deal out. And, you know, he ordered a simulator right out of the gate. It's something that, that's how much fun it is that, you know, he went from, you know, toying around with the idea of it to now, you know, kind of invest in some time and wants to get good at it, just like any other racer does. So a lot of fun, a lot of stories come out of it too. A lot of hurt feelings, you know. it's just like racing. There's a lot of people that get riled up and get after it. So definitely some good content will come through Tim Terry and through those guys over the next couple weeks.
Can you imagine getting your butt kicked? You're a big, I don't know, Pinty's guy or a pro stock tour guy, and you get your butt kicked by a Bandolero driver from Scotia Speed World on a Friday night.
Yes.
It would happen. It would happen all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, when you look at...
Kids grew up with a controller in their hand.
Yeah. When you look at you know, even the Pro Invitational, you know, we had Keegan Leahy on the program a couple weeks back, and he said it himself. We would wax those guys in the Pro Invitational, the Pro Cup guys. It's the way that it would be. You know, but vice versa. You put that same Bandolero in a super late model, and the super late model guy's going to drive right past them. So it's really interesting. They've got the ability to crank some laps off. You get the same feelings, not the same butt feelings. You don't have the car sliding around. You don't have the fear of getting hurt or wrecking stuff. But what you get is the feeling of competition, right? It's the same thing from a really intense video game. You get the excitement level comes up because you it's the excitement of competition. So the same thing, you know, that you get from playing hockey or playing football, and you want to beat that other team, that same feeling you get, the same adrenaline you get when you beat the other guys on the racetrack in iRacing. So that's the thing that, you know, you can't manufacture that feeling.
We get dirty on the other side of the break. Nick Sheridan's going to join us. Sprint car driver, stay with us.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running.
Hey, Rick Rim, you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Running, running, and running, running, and running, running. Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoked.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest
DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Well, what do you say we get the dirt flying in the air right now? And we'll go to one of those Sheridan guys. We heard from Jake Sheridan on this program a couple weeks ago. Of course, APC driver. You see him at Delaware Speedway. Well, I'll tell you, you can see his brother. He is one of the stars of the sprint cars over at Oswego, and he just loves those sprint cars. We got him on the hotline right now, as a matter of fact. Nick, what is going on tonight?
Not a whole lot, Joe. It's good to be on the show. Had a nice little Easter dinner here with the four of my family. Didn't get together with anyone else due to the circumstances, but ready to get the season going.
Ah, good deal. You got that number 45 all set to go in the shop there?
It's pretty close to being completely set. Just a couple little things I have to do to it. I've been working hard the last few weeks out there in the shop on the car, trying to get everything ready for the season. But it's kind of hard because trying to order some stuff from the States and the borders are all closed. But we're getting her there.
Hey, we intentionally didn't have you on for a couple weeks just so you could ride that wave, that brotherly wave of, we introduced your brother as Nick's brother on the last time we had him on. So we gave you time to ride that wave a little bit. But did you notice we didn't introduce you as Jake's brother? You're the champion of the family right now. So you got to be rubbing that in on the brother pretty hard.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I don't like to rub it in on him too hard because, we all know times can change very fast in racing, but I like to lay it in every once in a while.
Well, and you wouldn't be able to push too hard because the old boy would stand up and say, hey, I got both of you beat. I got more championships than you guys have got birthday candles.
Yeah, he definitely does. He's a heck of a wheelman back in the day, and it's definitely awesome to have him on our side.
You want to believe it. Nick, we see the APC cars. I know that's what I'm familiar with. Get to a lot of short track asphalt races. And you take a guy like Jake and guys like Jake that have got, beautiful race cars. They seem to change those suckers out every year or two. They're always trying to search for this next best thing. Is it the same in sprint cars, or is your chassis the same one that you've had for years, or do you guys, is the pressure on to get a new car every year like it is at APC?
Well, Joe, it's definitely not quite as big as it is in APC, but it's definitely different in sprint cars because you'll have guys running a 2005 car from nowhere, and you have like five teams with brand new cars every year, but we're somewhere in the middle. I think our car is 2015 or 16, so it's nothing new, but definitely keep looking around, see what's new, and try and find some new bolt-on stuff to put on it.
Yeah, it's more bolt-on, I guess, is what I was maybe getting at. More bolt-on parts than it is chassis. The technology in the chassis is somewhat the same year to year, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that changes with the sprint cars from year to year. There's always the cool new trick stuff, but most of that trick stuff you can all buy and add on to your car. You don't always have to get a new car.
I guess it's the flex, too, right? The more races you put on a race car, no matter what flavor it is, you got flexes, you've got a lot of pressures on that car. And I guess, and the way you race it, man, you guys are, you're hard on it every single lap.
Yeah, I try not to be too hard on it, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get those checkered flags. So.
Big year in 2019. What was your defining moment of 2019 when you look back?
There was definitely a few big ones. Definitely one of the ones that stand out to me, of course, was the last race of the year winning the championship. The couple of races we won this year, though, they were all some big memories, and definitely the third night we ran. We wrecked the week before, and then the third night I finished fifth, and the whole last five laps I was paranoid. I was just trying to get across the line in one piece.
I've got two things in my hand here. Excuse me. They're imaginary, of course. In my right hand, I've got another championship from Oswego, okay? In my left hand, I've got a Canadian Sprint Car Trophy that's got your name on it. Which one are you going to pick?
That's definitely a hard one. I mean, we definitely love to go for championships. I've always loved the whole championship deal, winning that at the end of the year. And trying to be consistent, that's definitely one of the things I love about racing. It's not all just about winning your single race. But those trophies are also pretty nice to keep in the shop. But if you were to ask me right now, I'd probably have to go with the second championship.
The second champion. I thought you were going to say, no, I'll take the Canadian Sprint Car National because they've already got one title and I can go for another one.
Yeah, it's definitely, Sprint Car Nationals would be a big thing. We didn't do too well at the Nationals this year, but I'd love to win one of those. It's a great deal. I really love what Oshwegan does with those races. Definitely some big payouts there, some awesome prestige in that event. But championships also do mean a pretty big thing to me. So I'm going to try and go for both, but we'll see how it plays out this year.
100%. Nick, you get a chance every time I see your brother at the racetrack. You're always standing right beside him, on the asphalt side or as much as you can within your racing schedule. But you get to see behind the steel curtain on both styles of races. And when you look at the practice time and the limited practice time that you guys get on the dirt versus the huge amount of practice time that an asphalt team gets, would you prefer to get more like track time as a dirt guy, or what's your stance on why the industry has so much practice on asphalt versus so little on dirt?
I mean, for dirt racers, we always want the practice and such, but it's just because of the track, right? If you have a whole day and you all run, like, five practice sessions, the track will be all dried out and not have as much grip in it for the feature. So you don't want to run a whole lot of practice on it, keep the track nice and fresh for the feature. But definitely at the beginning of the year, I kept wanting more practice, and then so halfway through the year, we were winning a bunch of races. I didn't want to give anyone else a whole lot of practice, so I wasn't minding it.
Gotcha.
We're with Nick Sheridan tonight. You can catch him at Oshwegan Speedway. He's in a sprint car, number 45. Got that machine flying around there. Nick, got to ask you. You went down the dirt side. And knowing your dad, Ron Sheridan, always seen him at Delaware Speedway on the asphalt side. When you went down the dirt side, A, where did that decision come from? It was just something that you seen and you loved? And B, who's your mentor over on that side? I know your dad is a key guy, but on asphalt, he would be key. I don't know about dirt, though.
Yeah, he's definitely been a big mentor of mine. I really love working with him in the shop and how he manages the race teams, everything like that. It's a lot of fun. I kind of started on the dirt because when I grew up, my brother and I, we both raced dirt go-karts, and those are a really good standpoint. We both learned a lot about car control and throttle control on both asphalt and dirt. It just, for some reason, it seemed like when he was at that age to move on, it just seemed like asphalt was the way to go. And for me, we just kind of stayed around the dirt for a bit, and I thought I'd try this straight sprint car thing, because we had a buddy of ours who was willing to put me in his car. It just kind of felt like the right thing to do, Joe, and we ended up doing that, and it was definitely fun. But mentor for dirt side, I haven't really thought about it a whole lot, but definitely my dad's a big mentor to me, not only in racing, but in life. Everything he does, it really helps me a lot, and I definitely look up to him big time. But dirt driver mentor, there's quite a bit. I'm a big Brad Sweet fan.
Yeah, cool, nice. Cool. And how cool is that, that you guys experience both different styles of racing? Is this it for you? Are you happy in sprint car? You're going to stay there until you're not racing anymore? Or do you have asphalt in your blood? Do you have the urge to get one of those APC cars and go out there and try and kick Jake's butt?
Well, Joe, I've never driven the asphalt car. I've never driven asphalt ever in my life, so I don't have that thorn in me yet. But I'd definitely love to just try it a few times and run a late model once or twice at Delaware, just because of the whole family aspect there and how long I've been a part of it. And just, I do think it's awesome still, but I do love the sprint dirt sprint car side of things. It just seems like it's a great atmosphere at the track all the time. It comes to me very naturally, and I have a lot of friends there. So I'd be perfectly content staying on the sprint car side for definitely a long time to come.
Now, I don't believe we asked Jake this question, but has he ever taken your sprint car out, and does he have an urge to jump in the dirt side?
Well, actually, funny story, Joe. We started out with he actually drove a sprint car for a couple of times. My car owner had him in the car. He drove the exact same car I have a few years ago, drove it 4 or 5 times, just didn't think it was for him, so he went back onto the asphalt side and kept the car in the shop for a year, and then I tried her out, and we ended up having a really good year with it.
Ah, I'd say you had a really good year with it. It's got to be really, really different feeling. I can imagine Jake throwing it down into turn 1 and 2 at a place like, Delaware, Jucasa, and feeling what he feels with the car hooked up going through the turn, compared to what you feel going into the big O wide open into turn 1 and 2 and the car sliding all over the place. It's got to be feel totally different.
It's definitely a completely different feel. I mean, I've never done the asphalt part, so I don't have that feel, which sometimes I think it's kind of a blessing. I don't have the instinct to whip right off the gas and use the brakes every single corner. I can hold it wide open throughout the corner and not have to feel the grip underneath me, but definitely, you still kind of feel like a sense of grip in your head, really. It's not all there all the time, but you're definitely sideways, and it's a lot of fun trying to find traction.
Back in the All-Star days, some of the funniest times I ever had was with Kirk Hooker, the number 38 Country View Chevy. He came off dirt, got into a McCall late model, came out into All-Star, and I'll never forget his first night on the racetrack. We were at Sobble Beach. This new dirt guy comes in. That's Kirk over there. And see him on the racetrack. His first heat, he goes out, and he ends up turning a guy and getting a black flag. And he comes in and goes, "What the hell's that?" I said, "Well, Kirk, you can't go out there and push guys around in this." He goes, "I wasn't." He said, "My car was sideways." So it was hilarious. But to get his take, he said, "You know what? It's okay. I'm going to get the hang of this asphalt stuff." And I'll tell you what, did he ever get the hang of it? He turned into a champion.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Kirk Hooker stories from my dad and a few other people I know. And he seems like he definitely got a hold of the weight model stuff quite well. But, I mean, I've never done both. I admire him. I think he has a great job knowing how to do both. But I'd love to try it one day, Joe. I've told you before, but I do love the dirt, I have to admit.
Nick, you know, you touched on you know, your dad and being a mentor, you know, as a team owner, and I do want to touch on a little bit of the business side of you know, how you guys operate your team and all of those things. Obviously, you guys have always had great sponsorship. Any time that there's been a Sheridan on the racetrack, there's been a professionally built race car with professional sponsorship on it. But you guys, like your race team has always been, you know, business centric, I guess. And there's always been, you know, a business component to it. You guys aren't just grassroots racers, out there, you know, putting a race car on the racetrack. You guys are working towards something at all times, whether it be working towards a championship, working towards another win, or working towards moving up. It seems like that Ron and really your entire team has always been that way. Talk a little bit about the you know, the things that you've learned on the business side just as you've grew within the sport.
Man, Joe, I've learned so much about the business side of this racing sport. I mean, it's definitely tricky and complex, but I almost love what we do off track and all that work more as much as I do love racing at the track. It's all fun, it's all a blessing, but we all have quite a bit of sponsors, I got to thank. Like we all know, we have Pride Seeds and Vibrant Farms and Beach Performance Engines and such helping us out. But it's we definitely like to keep it professional. We're not just there to screw around and go on the track or wreck people. We like to keep it very professional at our shop and around our team. And, yeah, it's definitely. I have a car owner, actually, on the dirt. My dad and him, Rick Bird is his name. They own it half and half. They own the car. So that definitely helps out financially. It's definitely great to have him. He's taught me and all of our crew so much about the dirt. If it wasn't for him, we would not be anywhere near where we are right now. I have so many thanks for him. But it's definitely a lot to learn between him and I, but I've thrown with every penny I have in this sense, and I love every minute of it.
Absolutely. And the other portion to that is being so young, obviously going to school through growing within the sport. I want to you know, kind of get the feeling or allow the fan base to hear, you know, just the in-depth business portion of what you guys do. When you're at school and you're in a business class or you're in a mathematics class, how much of it relates back to racing? Because I imagine that a tremendous amount of your learning skill set goes right back to what you've already learned, you know, on a Saturday night or a Friday night at a dirt track.
Yeah, definitely. You can still learn a lot from school going towards dirt, but I usually get out of school early on Fridays to go to the races. I've been doing that for the last little while. It's definitely crazy, but you can learn a lot from math class and just connecting with peers and stuff. Like, you learn friendships and how to value other people at school that you can learn at the racetrack, how to make friends and such. But definitely, I've definitely learned a lot from math class on the technical side of the race cars. I love the technical side. I work the best as much as I can. Business stuff too. You'll learn a lot about how to run a racing, how to run stuff like that. You can take some stuff from there back home, but I get a lot of my learning from home around the people I'm around. At the track, you learn a bunch from certain people, and at home with my dad and my brother just working the shop. You learn most of your stuff from there, definitely.
We're with Nick Sheridan tonight here on Racetime Radio. Nick, I know this virus has got all of us screwed up. We're all hunkered down and staying home. But what's your schedule look like when the government finally says, okay, guys, go back at it? What's your schedule looking like?
Well, right now, during this whole coronavirus such, I've been working at my uncle's restaurant every single day and then coming home and working on the race cars. But once this all clears up, I'll be going to school. And then once that's all done, we'll be working the shop every night, racing on the weekends. And then in the summer, I do have another full-time job. I'll work Monday to Thursday, 48 hours, something like that there. So I'll be working as much as I can, make as much money there to put back into the race team, and then go racing on the weekends with Jake and myself. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a very busy summer for me, but I'm very excited for it. Hopefully we can get it going soon. It's going to be a blast.
There you go. You want a race, kid? Get to work. And you're doing two of them.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very busy thing. I'm very fortunate to have the people I have providing me with jobs and such. And you got to find the money somehow to put it in the cars. And I do not put as much as my dad that I spend. Sponsors are a big thing. I'm really thankful for them, but do everything you can.
Well, you tell us who you got on the wings of that. That's got to be key to your success. Who you got on the car?
Definitely. They're a big key. My brother's success. I have Pride Seeds, Vibrant Farms, Leaf Performance Engines, Cameron Crane are all on my car this year. A few of the people we'll be looking at, hopefully they'll be on the car this year, but we'll see how much races again this year. But still so thankful, like I said earlier, for my crew chief and car owner Rick and my dad and every other crew member we have on the team. It's they all help out in their own little way, whether it's big or small, and we couldn't do it without any of them.
You're just chomping at the bit to get back to the Big O, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's been a long winter, and this is making it quite a bit longer. I wish it kind of hurry up soon.
Yeah, no kidding. We joked around the other day on the phone, a buddy of mine and I said, the U.S. is finally feeling what it's like to be Canadian. And my buddy said, what do you mean? And I said, well, your racing schedule is usually like 9 months out of the year. Our racing schedule is only usually about 4.5 to 5. I said, it's you guys are kind of getting a taste of what it's like to be Canadian right now.
Yeah. It's definitely kind of sucky up here in Canada. We don't get to race all the year like them. It's definitely nice for us when we can go down and race in the States or go watch some races down there to keep it running in our blood, but we don't need that to keep it running.
That's right.
Now, I know you haven't got much time to sit around and to get on video games, but are you on iRacing? Are you on the Tony Stewart game by chance?
Joe, I have them both. The Tony Stewart game, personally, to me, I cannot relate much from it. I don't have a whole lot of fun. It's all right, though. I have it do something Sunday morning, but definitely I want iRacing. I do that as much as I can here in the off season. Race against as many real people as I can. It's not even you can take everything from it and bring it to real life. You don't have the feel and such, but it's just keeping your hand-to-eye coordination strong through the off season and keeping it running, keeping having some fun with your friends, go on there and keep feeling around and run a bunch of different cool stuff. I have a lot of fun on there.
Well, the dirt track on iRacing, I don't believe would turtle somewhat like some of the dirt tracks that you race at. And I definitely know that you wouldn't feel the impact like you would on a dirt track when the track does turtle up.
No, definitely not. You go through there's not a whole lot of bumps on iRacing, but you definitely feel them in real life big time. And even when you get wrecked on iRacing, it's it's not as big of a deal as it is when you get back in real life. It's a huge deal if you ever get into a crash or something in real life. But iRacing is just hold that reset button and do it again, which is good and bad. It's good for when you get in an incident or something, but then again, you have the people who like to abuse that. So it's good for its own reasons, but I can't wait to get back in the real car.
Well, we can't wait to see you back in it as well, my friend. You keep that wing on the top and you keep your nose to the grindstone. This virus is going to be gone here shortly, and we're going to get back to it. This is going to be a distant memory one day.
Yeah, hopefully it's a distant memory sooner than later. I'm really hoping to get this all cleared and get back, but we all got to do our part and keep everyone healthy, and I guess we just got to go through these sucky times like this every once in a while. But definitely excited to get back to race season.
You betcha, my man. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you back on the track, Nick. This has been great catching up with you tonight. And like I said to you the other day, you just let your brother know we saved the best for last.
Oh,
shots fired. You need to ride that wave, too.
That's awesome.
You do that. It'll be hilarious.
Definitely. I'll definitely have to give it to him a couple times and just kind of slide it in there every once in a while.
That a boy. You take it easy, Nick. Appreciate it. Say hi to all the boys for us, and be safe.
Will do, Joe. Really appreciate you having me on the air tonight, and thanks so much.
You bet. That's Nick Sheridan. He's getting ready for the 2020 season when it decides to go green.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, the Sheridan boys, I'm massive fans of both of them. They,
me too.
You know, I've said it a number of times. You know, just a great racing family. Obviously, you know, we've had Jake on the program, and I like to rib on Jake a little bit. It's he's such a good kid. He's going to be the champion of the APC series in the next
guaranteed.
If
hands
he won
down.
The championship in 2020, I wouldn't be surprised. If he wins the next three of them, I wouldn't be surprised. He's that good behind the wheel. They're both diehard racers, you know, and that's there's no two ways around it. The Sheridan family has always been about racing through and through, and you know, it's no different today than it was 10 years ago, and definitely, you know, the skill level, the professionalism, the, you know, the way that they handle themselves at the racetrack, you know, they're fiery competitors, but they're professional competitors. And a lot of people can take notes from what those two kids do. They're definitely, you know, staples at racetracks in Ontario. And it really, and we touched on this when we talked about, you know, the Butchers, right? And we talked about Cole Butcher being a prospect, that somebody who could make it huge in the sport, because Cole Butcher is so good and he's so dedicated, and he's just the entire package of what you want in a race car driver at the top level of the sport. Jake and Nick both fit in that realm.
Yeah, they do.
And,
yep.
You know, when you look at it, there's a handful of competitors in Canada that can emulate the dedication, the focus, the preparedness, all of the things that it takes to be you know, great in the sport, and those two kids have definitely fall into that category, and just a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah, talented, respectful, chip off the old block is
absolutely
what both those kids are. Good job, Ronnie. We are gonna hit a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here. Must be something I said.
Hey, race fans, this is Scott Stuckley. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Perfection.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer bear and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. No. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV-TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV-TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Better fade that baby up. There we go. We are with you tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Sure glad you could tune in. Now, there is a little bit of a delay here with Sirius XM. Of course, no operator in the studio on Sunday night. So things get programmed, and what you're going to hear is going to be on Sunday night, but it'll be next Sunday night when you hear this on Sirius XM Channel 167 until the coronavirus is over and we get our op back in Toronto. Want to make sure absolutely everybody stays safe, or you may be listening on the Performance Motorsport Network.com or Gearhead Country Radio, or how about 98.9 XFM Antigonish, all of those destinations playing Racetime Radio. So we want to welcome in all the listeners from those different spots. And definitely, if you missed the show and you want to tune into it on your time, you can do that anytime. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. And don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll have the program. As soon as we're done it, you'll get it. So we'll hopefully catch you that way. Lots of stuff, Junior, being done. Take a look at that through Facebook. See a shot of Mr. Stoddy with his brand-new fire suit. Look at this brand-new fire suit.
Yeah, the yellow tuxedo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Looking
He's
good.
He's wearing a tux. He's a businessman now. He's always sitting in the office. So Josh Stoddy, of course, put the bow tie on. Put the bow tie on early. You know, he's a guy that he wants to wear a bow tie at the end of the year at the championship banquet. But he threw the bow tie on a little early. And, man, that team has taken some strides over the last couple of years.
See the two yellow machines he's got ready to go?
He picked up the one car from Tim Ellis there. So he's got two pro late models basically primed and ready to go in the shop for 2020. Kicking off, for a long period of time there, I'm going to say 4 years, 5 years, he had a limited late and a pro late.
Yep.
Kind of, straddling back and forth. And he would play around with the limited late, on off weekends and go over to Sunset and race Sauble. And, he'd bounce back and forth. So it's nothing new for that team to have two cars. Definitely new to have two pro late models ready to go in the rack. If they need to dip into the reserves, they've got a backup sitting there.
I can imagine the one is going to be as good as the other too.
They are. They're both really, really good race cars.
Brian McDonald have his fingers in both them babies, I would imagine.
Well, he kind of changed it up. He's McCall racing last year, and the year prior he kind of dipped into the McCall program at the end of the year. Last year he was a full blown McCall effort. The 17 last year was one of the McCall house cars, if you will. They had a performance every single time they rolled out. Didn't get the results that they wanted.
Yeah.
But they've taken a lot of steps. You know, talking to him and his dad over the off season, they've taken a lot of steps to get even better again. And it's going to be definitely really interesting to see what all takes place from the Stoddy camp, because man, they are so dedicated to getting wins, to getting performance, that it's going to come for sure. They're in the deep end of the pool for sure.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the competition that they're up against. A couple things that I wanted to touch on. Steven Nassi posted a video of him out testing.
Did he?
Yep, the other day.
Where was he?
He just wanted to. No, Orange County, I believe, or Citrus County. A little short track down south in Florida. He just wanted to dust it off and go out there and test. As well, a video that I shared on Monday, Steve, and it's not Steve Apple, but driver that races Slinger International, Steve Apel,
oh, yeah.
A-P-E-L, posted a video of testing at Slinger Speedway. With a super late model as well. So you can still social distance if you're on the racetrack by yourself.
Sure. There's only one guy in the car.
I mean,
there's only one guy.
It'll be
in
interesting
car.
To see what the rules are with that in Canada. I don't know if that's allowed or disallowed or what, but I mean, testing,
I can't see why. The guys that are on that crew probably live together.
Well, as long as it's you know, a father and a son, and you know, it's within your circle, and you're not interacting, and you don't have a team of nine guys working on a race car, I would imagine that testing will be allowed. I don't know the rules, ramifications, all of the different things here in Ontario of making that happen, but.
Testing, I can't see there being a problem.
It's just the fact that it's
a
non-essential.
You can't go over five people.
It's a non-essential business, number one, being open.
It's not open. You're not open.
Exactly,
to the public.
But I don't know if it's allowed to be open.
It's not open. You're not conducting a race.
No, correct.
You're not conducting a race.
Correct.
There'd be no difference than... going out there and cleaning the track or going out and preparing the track. It wouldn't make any difference. You can do that. You can't say that I can't go out there and do that.
Yeah.
It'd be like me going down and sitting at the dock. Sorry, but I live on a lake. I'm going to sit at the dock.
Exactly. No, 100%. And, you know, it's...
There's no law against it.
No,
I don't think so.
It's, I think that it's definitely an opportunity for some teams that have their cars together when the weather straightens out.
Sure.
To get out there, keep the testing, keep it rolling. Hopefully it doesn't get too out of hand, you know, for too long of a period on the virus side. You obviously don't want teams blowing money on testing constantly. But that being said, it's an opportunity. If you were allowed to test before, you're allowed to test now. So,
sure.
It's definitely...
You just couldn't do it with multi-teams.
No, exactly.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
You know.
You'd have to keep it down to one team. Every now and then I love scrolling through Facebook and finding out what image wraps and own sound is up to. Did you happen to see the little 51 car that Craig's
got really
done?
Yeah, really cool. Yeah.
Isn't that a horny looking car?
Yeah, it's really neat.
That is a beautiful ride.
Yeah.
Craig has got a real knack for it, I'll tell you.
I think one of the nicest cars that I've seen Craig Kamrath do is Corey McAllister's number 71.
I haven't seen it this year.
No.
Seen it last year. Beautiful car.
I'm going to show it to you right now.
Little 51 car.
Corey McAllister has done, you know, a tremendous amount in a short period of time. Of course, he's a co-owner of Caldecott Millwright Services over in Hanover. And he has been racing, you know, for a couple years now.
Yeah.
And
it
seems like progressively, you know, he partnered up with Sean Chenoweth and those guys. Chenoweth drove his car last year at the Short Track Nationals. Had another race somewhere, I don't know where it was, he's been out there, this new car that Craig Kamrath did for Corey is, I would say it would be in my top five favorite paint schemes of all time, and it's big number.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that's,
really?
It's a bold statement.
Is it green and black like it was last year?
Yeah, and
he had a sharp looking race car last year.
He did have a sharp looking race car, but I mean the new scheme that they have, and I'm just looking for it here.
So while you're looking for it, I'll remind everybody Thursday night, this coming Thursday night APC has got another kick at the can, and I wouldn't doubt you're going to see a lot better race this time than the first race. A lot of the field, they'll know what to expect this time around. They'll have more of a feel for it, probably not as many cautions. Oh, that is a nice car, the 71. Nice, very nice. Looks close to last year.
Looks close, yeah, same color schemes and stuff like that. But, man, just the new generation ABC body.
Looks fast, right under the box.
It does. It looks like it's doing 200 miles an hour just sitting still. And that's what I like in a race car.
Yeah.
Make them look fast.
Yeah.
Not
it's gonna be
bulky
huge.
And boxy.
Hey, also, scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I noticed some big changes at Full Throttle Motor Speedway and Grand Bend Speedway. Of course, both those tracks are going to be ran by Gord Bennett this year. Have a look at their site if you're frequenting Full Throttle Speedway or Grand Bend. Have a look at it. He's got some very, very, very different ideas on what he's going to be doing after this virus is clear. He's got a program laid out that both for the race fan and for the drivers. It's mixed comments on the site. I've invited Gord to come on the program and share his vision so that everybody can hear it. But you can see it anytime. Just get to Full Throttle's Facebook page, and you'll see what I mean. You may have to go down a couple of posts, but you'll see what I mean. Very different, very different.
Very different schedule?
Ideas.
Or is it?
Ideas.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
So is it about a schedule, or is it about...
No, it's not about a schedule. The way the payout's going to go, the way the admissions are going to go, it looks like he's going to do a point fund per month per class.
Okay.
And by the look of it, and I could be wrong on this, but the revenue share for the racer is going to be based on how many people come in.
Really?
How many people come in, yeah. So it's a different model altogether.
That's kind of what we had a conversation about this.
Kind of, yeah.
We had a conversation about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
You don't know what to expect when things go back.
Yeah.
You really don't. Like, people are either going to be over-revved to get out. The beautiful part about any short track or any racing venue, they're all outside. So it's going to lend itself better than it will be to go sit in a movie theater somewhere.
Yeah.
In a group, right?
Yeah.
Sitting outside, at least you've got the outside influences.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, when we go back, if it's a limited go back, nothing's going to stop you if you feel threatened or, you know, whatever. You can put a face mask on. People are wearing them today doing groceries.
Yeah, I mean.
So you've got that advantage. Yeah. And I can't see where there's going to be any threat.
Yeah.
If you wear a face mask.
Yep.
I can see every now and then walking away and taking the face mask off because they drive me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'm wearing one when I grocery shop.
You know, when we had a conversation just offline, so nobody knows what we're talking about.
I got a minute. All right. Just so you know.
All right. We don't have enough time.
Yeah,
to talk about
we do.
It.
Keep going.
No,
we got a minute.
Yeah. So, like, we had a conversation about the disconnect between drivers and teams and the stakeholders that actually live off the sport on the grassroots level side. And the grassroots level side. The only people that are perceived to make any money off of racing are the owners of the racetracks.
Yeah.
Right? They're the only ones that are perceived to make money.
Yeah.
So when you have everybody in the sport look at the racetrack owner and say, you are making money off this, I'm spending my hard-earned money on this.
Yeah.
There's always a disconnect between the track owner and the stakeholders that make the sport happen. So... I congratulate personally Gord on that program. If you share the revenue, they all have a stake in getting people to come and sit in the grandstands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can continually change the dialogue to make it positive constantly, then this sport would flourish. We would all pull the rope in the same direction. But if the track owner is pulling it in the direction of, I want to make money, and the driver is pulling it in the direction that I want to win because I'm spending money, and you know, you have the fans pulling the rope in, this isn't exciting enough. Well, I mean, there's constantly a disconnect.
Okay. There's our minute. We got to throw it back to Toronto. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight. Coming up this hour, you're going to hear from Sean Pierce in just mere seconds. We'll also catch up with Jason Hathaway, driver of the number three Kubota Chevrolet in the NASCAR Pinty Series. And we're going to catch up with Cole Powell tonight on this very program. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's roll in driver the number 21 in the Parts for Trucks Tour out in Canada's East Coast. I believe he's out in the Halifax area. Let's welcome in Sean Pierce. What's going on there, 21?
Not too much, bud. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Hey, how's that car coming along?
Oh, we're getting there. We're picking away at it slowly here, I guess.
Sean, watching you on Twitter and seeing some of the photos you post, your family goes way back in the day. Man, you guys got some cool-looking rides in that family.
Yeah, me and my dad were talking about it, and this will be our 42nd summer, so that we've been doing this. I should say he's been doing this. I've been doing it all my life. I'll be 40 in June.
Pretty wild, isn't it? And you've had good success here the last couple of years, man. You've turned a corner.
Yeah, we have. We do have a very limited budget with our race team, but you know the Maritime Pro Stock Tour does a good job with the rules and keeps stuff fairly close and allows a low dollar guy like myself to be competitive.
So take us through the winter here. What did you do with the 21 car? I know you had it all totally rebuilt last year. You run through the season. You get to the end of the year. What do you do then? Do you blow it all apart again and start all over?
I think that's what a race car driver does every year. You're never satisfied with how you went your previous year. But we learned a lot last summer. Like my dad and Frank Jackson, they've helped a lot when it comes to setup stuff. Frank makes me think all the time, and you know, we bounce ideas off each other back and forth of how this is supposed to work or that's supposed to work, and try to make it go, because like I don't I'm a small guy. I don't have the budget to call up, you know, Gary Crooks at Port City and say, hey, I can't get my car to go, what do I do?
Right, you got to depend on yourself and your own resources to make that sucker turn.
Yeah, exactly. Like we sit down a lot of times on the phone or even at the racetrack, and Frank will say, or Dad will say, well, why don't we try this or why don't we try that? And this winter was kind of, that was the thing, with the body off the car and move it around in the garage and see what moves where.
Yeah. And did you, like over the winter, there's all kinds of resources where you can read and, you know, come up with different ideas. You would have seen some at the racetrack, and you do talk to the other competitors. Do you pick anything up there? And have you got a bag of tricks you're going to throw at it this year?
Well, we learned some stuff last year that we started to apply at the end of the year, and the car really responded well. And that's kind of the direction we went over the winter is what we learned. Like at Scotia, the last race of the year, I didn't buy any new tires because at the end of the year we weren't going to lose anything in points, so we just said, the heck with it, let's just go and try some stuff, and we did, and we finished second in our heat race and ran top 10 most of the race. I think we ended up 12th or something, but again, it was a four-tire race, and we had old ones.
The crazy part is, and you kind of touched on it, is the guys like Gary Crooks or, like, really, any name you could have, they all got to where they're at by doing the exact same thing that you are, right? Is they tried that one thing, and it worked. And then they tried another thing, and it worked. And then they tried 100 things that didn't work. And, you know, that's the neatest part about this sport. And I try to articulate that to as many people as possible, is that it is trial and error to a certain degree. Once you figure out a path and a direction of which way you can go, setup wise and adjustment wise, really it all comes down to figuring out what works best for you as a driver and then applying it from there. So talk a little bit about the hours spent on that front of you know, the documentation. How do you document it personally? Is it all up in your brain, or do you got a notebook that's the size of a Bible, or how do you keep control of all the things that you've tried and all the things that you want to?
Well, we do. We keep a notebook from week to week of what we've done, and you know, you. One good thing about the race monitor that you can download, like, it's a neat app that shows you your lap time. So, you know, you can look to see the changes you made to your car. Are they better or worse? Or, you know, what was lap times you ran at Halifax, the first trip you were there to the second trip? Like, you know, so if you're making the right adjustments and you're going quicker, well, that's a good thing.
We have a Sean Pierce tonight. He's in the Parts for Truck store out in the Maritimes, getting ready to go for 2020. Sean, every time I've been in the pits, before the call of the race, where they're getting ready to call the lineup, I look down that pit road, and I know I can see you working on that number 21 right until the bitter end each and every time before you pull it into line. Do you ever get satisfied with that car and just leave it alone?
No.
No. You can never leave it alone. And, you know, you always got an idea of how to make it better, like every race car driver. That's why we're there. We're trying to get better than the other guy so we can pass that guy in front of us or get the finish we think we deserve. And every one of us wants to be up front, so that's kind of the key to get there.
A buddy of mine called a race car a mosquito bite. Because you just got to keep on scratching it.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it works. The neat part about keeping on working on it is 50% of the time when you look at down the pit road, 50% of them are going to over adjust and 50% of them are going to make their cars better. You just don't know which way that is.
Well, that's exactly right. And from day to day or racetrack to racetrack, you know, some hot, cold, sometimes the right adjustment is the right one, and sometimes you might think you're going the right way and went the wrong way.
So, Sean, you're going to head this year to Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick. You're going to be at Scotia Speed World in Halifax. You're going to go off to Riverside International Speedway, out to PEI to Oysterbed Speedway. Which one of those tracks is your favorite? Which one are we going to circle for that win?
A win would be nice, but Annie Kanish was probably our better racetrack last year. PEI, we ran really good as well. Like, we ran up front for the Twin 50s we had there at the beginning of the year, which, you know, that was great for us. And over in the island, both trips, we were top 5, 6 in speeds all day. Just kind of had some bad luck in the features, but we were there.
And you ride the wave of momentum, right? When you guys do rip off a good time, a good heat race, you feel that, don't you? And you carry that into the feature and look out.
Oh, for sure. Like I say, me and my dad, we know we don't have the budget of the other teams, and we're just tickled when we run up in the top 10. You know, that's great for us. That's our goal, is to try to be in the top 10 each week.
So sponsorship-wise, how are you looking for 2020? You got all that sewn up, or are you still looking?
All our sponsors that we had last year are coming back with us. We picked up a sponsor that he was away for a year or two, and he come back. So we've got Entice Motorsports, and Collins Water Treatment, Pleasantville Signs, DE Light Metal, and Center for Speed. The Atlantic Championships are going to be on the car this year. It's just great to have Tim and try to support his races.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, I said you're outside Halifax. Whereabouts are you, actually? Where is the shop?
I'm actually in Newcombville, Nova Scotia. We're just outside of Bridgewater.
Ah, Newcombville. Newcombville. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
No, I've never heard of it either.
Yeah, it's just outside of Bridgewater, about 10 minutes outside of Bridgewater.
What's the closest track to you then? Would Scotia be the one or Antigonish?
No, Scotia. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from my place. Nice.
So still an hour and 15 minutes. You got a two-hour trip both ways.
Yep, pretty well.
Yeah, pretty amazing. You know, hopefully we get this underway sooner than later. But, you know, to get the season underway, how do you stay sharp in between now and then? Will you get any test time in, or are you just going to have to rely on iRacing and stuff like that?
Well, it's funny. I was listening to your guys' interview last week, and they talked about iRacing and stuff, and I have been doing iRacing for quite a while. Actually, tonight, as we're doing our interview, I'm watching Tim Terry's race, so I was going to do that tonight, but decided to. This would be more fun.
Ah, darn, man, you could have jumped into that race. You still got time. Jump in.
Yeah, no, he's doing his heat races right now. I think they're in the third heat or something.
Ah, they're wrecking a pile of IA equipment, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, and that's the fun part about iRacing. You just hit the reset button.
Just hit reset. No going to the shop, no turning around. You're all set.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Hey, you know what? This has been great catching up with you tonight. I know we look forward to getting you back on the racetrack. I can tell you that.
Oh, we're looking forward to it, too. We say hopefully we do get some kind of a season. I don't know what we'll end up with, but hopefully this all kind of calms down and we get back to normal life.
Well, when it does go green, I can guarantee that 21 car is going to be all set. Now, I've seen the rendering. You're going to have that 21 down south look again.
Yeah, we're going to go with the Wood Brothers scheme again. We did a old David Pearson last summer, and a lot of people really liked it, and it was a sharp-looking car and stood out, and that's kind of one of the main things is when you're watching videos and pictures and stuff, you want your car to stick out. So the sponsors we do get, hopefully they get good exposure.
Yeah, absolutely, and you do a great job with that. Has the Wood Brothers ever reached out to you?
No, actually, I reached out to them last year when we painted the car because, you know, to this day and age, you never know who's going to say what or what's going to happen, so I wanted to make sure it was okay to do that before we went ahead and painted it like that.
Yeah, and so obviously the answer was sure, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, they were happy about it, and then I showed them a picture when the car was done, and they really enjoyed it.
John Wood's a good dude. That's I imagine he got a real good kick out of that, for sure.
Well, you can bet that they'll be keeping their eye on you this year, especially if you're going to go with another 21. It was good luck last year.
Yeah, it sure was. It was, like I say, we had a pretty good year overall.
Well, it's going to be another good year when we get her going, Sean. Thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. You and your dad get back in that shop. Turn the wick up.
Oh, we will. Thanks for all that you guys do, too, and hopefully we'll see you this summer.
Yes, absolutely, we will. That is Sean Pierce, driver of the 21 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Great guy, Junior. I'll tell you, no one works harder on their car than that dude right there, and he gets results, and that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those types of teams that constantly, you know, evolve and constantly add to their program. Those are the types of teams that eventually get there, right? They get to that penultimate portion of the sport where, you know, whether down the road when he's 55 years old or whether it's next year, you don't know when, you know, everything's going to click. But everything will eventually.
Yes,
because
eventually.
Your notebook gets continually thicker. And he obviously last year turned a corner.
He did. You know, he did. And there's no quit in that team.
No, exactly. They continually get better and faster. And eventually what happens is you get to a point where either you get a sponsor that says, I don't care what it costs to make you go faster, right? That's what everybody wants to happen. You want to have all those trick shiny things, and you want to partner with those big teams, and you want to partner with those big manufacturers. That's the easy road to winning in racing is to, you know, get the finances together and go buy that information. But no matter what, once you get into that level, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, eventually you're buying that information constantly. And eventually it leads you down the wrong path because they get off track. We've seen it a number of times where long-term manufacturers start going down the road of not winning anymore. And I don't want to use an example of you know how racing engineering they at one point were the dominant force in Northern super late model racing.
Yep.
They still make parts today. They got to a point where they're a parts manufacturer, you know, more so than a chassis support center. But you know, now you see the new names like McCall, and you see the new names like Gary Crooks and Port City, which Port City is not a new name, right? It just went through a transition period. But it's constantly evolving. And eventually what happens is they get off track as well. They might get behind the curve. They might lapse on you know, new rules that come out. And somebody gets ahead of them. Well, you know, you look at a small team that has been able to maintain that here in Ontario, and that's the Shaw team, right? And Dale Shaw they got to a point where they had parts and pieces and, you know, the theory behind it where they outperform on a daily basis. They outperform some of the largest manufacturers out there. And that's exactly where a Pierce Racing, you know, team is on track to be. And, you know, whether they get there or not, it's cool.
Yeah. Doesn't come part overnight, I can guarantee you. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, NASCAR Pinties. Let's talk with Jason Hathaway. Well, it's all.
Hey, race fans, J.R. Fitzpatrick. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat that sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL. Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Some big news. You know, I was sitting there yesterday reading through Twitter, and I seen Norris McDonald post up.
Yes.
And Norris, of course, writer with the Toronto Star, I had a look at an article that he wrote, and man, I'll tell you what, by the sounds of that article, it sounds like racing is done. Stick a fork in it, it's done. I don't quite share the same view as what Norris McDonald does. Of course, I agree with 50% of what he says.
I agree with the hardships portion.
I'm a little more optimistic of what's going to take place in Ontario than maybe what Norris is. It sounds, if you read what Norris wrote, he's got a fork in it. It's done. You're not going to see a season in 2020. And he could be right. I'm not saying that he's 100% wrong. I'm just saying I'm a whole lot more optimistic than what that article was wrote.
Yeah, I look at it, you know, I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of large events at, you know, towards the end of the year. I think everybody's going to have to get creative with their schedule. Everybody in the sport, I think, is going to need to get creative with their schedule. I don't think that everybody's schedule that they launched, I don't think that they're just going to pick up where they should have been on the schedule. You know, I don't think that if you had 20 races scheduled, you're just going to not race until the point where we're allowed to go back to racing and then just pick up the schedule from there. I don't think that would do anybody any justice.
Well, how are you going to change it? You can't change it.
I would think that there's going to be, you know, the large invitational style races at grassroots level. I would think that, you know, there's going to be large invitational style races at every track.
Well, then they're not going to be successful.
I mean, that's the fear, but I think that that's the way that it's going to go. I like a structured series, like the Pinty series or like the K&N series, the ARCA series, the APC series. I think they're in a very precarious spot because I don't think that they can just run two or three races this year and call it a season, you know, or five races. I don't think they can call it a season.
No.
You know, I don't foresee all the dollars and cents adding up to having the sponsors that make those seasons, you know, come into play. I don't feel that the dollars and cents are going to be able to line up because, you know, a points fund sponsor, those different things, those are big challenges because you don't have 12 races. Well, that means that you know, amount that company, signed on the dotted line to pay, they're not receiving that. So it's not the same value. It's not the same perceived value.
Well,
so I think the races that are going to be successful.
There'll be a little bit of understanding there, too, I would believe.
There would be understanding, but business is business. If the value isn't there, the value isn't there. So I think that races like the Canadian Short Track Nationals, races like the 360 Sprint race, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, the IWK 250, the CAT 250, those styles of races will still roll, right? I think that those styles of races will still get out of the gate, but they'll just be on a different timeline for some of them.
Well, I don't know how you do a different timeline is what I'm getting at, because there's so much that goes into building a schedule.
I think
that
you
can't just if everybody changed their mind and changed their schedule, none of the schedules would line up.
But everybody's
right now
schedule,
they do.
But everybody's schedule is going to change and alter regardless. Like personally,
no, you just pick it up where you are.
Every personal schedule is going to change, though.
I don't know.
That's just my thought process behind it. Is that there's going to be a tremendous amount of large invitationals towards the end of the year.
We'll see what happens. Let's welcome in Jason Hathaway, driver the number 3 for Kubota Canada. What's going on there, Jay? How you doing?
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Not doing too bad at all. Happy Easter, my friend. Did you find all your Easter eggs today?
Yeah, we got the kids all taken care of. I actually didn't see too many for myself, but they were well taken care of.
No, your Easter egg's got a 3 painted on the side of it, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. How are things shaping up? I know this virus got everybody all stopped, but how's the 3 shot making out there?
Yeah, we're working away. We're busy. We got about 7 cars on the go at our shop, getting ready for the season. So We're moving along, getting ready like nothing's gonna phase us, and we're gonna start when we start. So whatever that is.
Yeah, well, there's nothing else we can do, right? We just gotta wait until the magic wand waves, and away we go. I did see a release earlier that Connor James could be joining you for a race or two. That's kind of cool news.
Yeah, he's going to do three races with us, so should be fun. And he's hoping to do maybe a few more, but we'll see. We'll get the first three out of the way when we get going. But yeah, it'll be good. He's he ran well last year at the Sportsman deal there, and nice kid, nice family. So hopefully we can get him some good ride and good car, and see what he can do with the NASCAR guys.
A three car team for Team Three Orange. There's a good ring there.
Three
there
is three.
Go.
Yeah.
It's a good ring, Jay.
Yeah.
Have you got a chance to jump on any iRacing over the hiatus here?
I haven't. I've looked at a I looked at a unit and I was going to buy it and stalled with everything that's going on, so I didn't bother. But I'm hearing lots about it and watching along on social media, and everybody seems to be enjoying it and seems to be popular right now. But there's nothing else to do, nothing else going on. So for me, I got my time limited. What I got for extra time in a day, so I haven't done any of it yet.
It's only a couple tires worth for a simulator. You know what I mean? When you look at it, it's only a couple tires. It's only a couple tires, Jay. It's only money.
They print it every day.
Yeah, lots of tires. Actually, you want a real good one, but I hear you.
Lots of tires,
and you'll take the tires over top of the other stuff any day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more of a real racer.
Yeah, you want to go after the win, and Jay, you're good at it too. Some good races for you in 2019. I suppose you want to pick up right where you left off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had a good second half of the year, and just luck wasn't on our side the first half, and just didn't really show our potential the first half of the year. But we come on strong at the end there, won two of the last, I don't know what it was, last four or five races, and almost had a third. But it was good strong program, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be as strong again this year.
Now, Jay, we've had a bunch of Pinty's competitors on, and we've all talked about the dirt race, right? I mean, everybody in the Pinty's series is talking about the dirt race that's coming down the pipe. And one of the questions that we've asked every single person so far is, I lead into this to tell you the second portion, but we've asked every single competitor, who is the first one when we unload for practice day, who is the first one to spin out when they hit the racetrack? Now, we've asked every competitor that exact same question, but when we had DJ Kennington on, he pointed at Jason Hathaway as the first guy to spin around when we hit the racetrack for practice day at Oshweken. So I just wanted to feed you that information so that we could ask you the question of who is the first one that's going to get backwards when we unload for practice on the dirt.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll sit out the first practice, so I'm not. I'll outsmart him again.
That's right.
No, make sure he's ahead of you going out for practice one, and before the green even comes out, big runoff area down in turn 3-4, just give DJ a little tap, send him around, and when he comes around, you can say, you were the first.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'll be fun. It's going to be different for everyone. I ran South Buxton once in a dirt late model, and I ran Granby in a center seat modified once way back. I don't know. Geez, I think it was like 2010. And so I've got two races under my belt and managed to live through both of those. So it'll be good. It'll be something different for all the teams. It'll be a learning curve. I mean, some people think they got it figured out now, and everything will change once we get racing. But it'll be a lot of fun. And, I think the fans are a lot of people that I talk to are going to see that show for sure.
Absolutely. How much how much emphasis, how much talk has there been between you and the crew guys on what you guys are going to do setup wise and stuff like that? It feels like everybody that I talk to is just the focus is there. Everybody knows that it's a one-off deal. We're not gonna, we're like the entire series isn't going to go out and build dirt cars for this deal. dirt specific cars. But how much emphasis, how much chatter, how much garage racing have you guys done thinking about what you're going to do setup wise for it?
There's been chatter for sure. I can't even tell you what car I'm going to run. So, as far as setup goes and things like that, there's just a few, you know, a little bit of talk between my crew chief, Craig Masters, and Jeff Thomas, a little bit there. But Brett Taylor's got a dirt car that we've got prepared for him, so he's going to have a dirt car, you know, just for that race. And I can't even tell you what I'm going to jump into. So I've got a choice of a couple, so we'll figure that out later on.
That's cool.
Have you hooked up with a dirt guy, Jay, that you're going to be able to at least talk to, get some pointers, and some worthwhile stuff?
Yeah, I have. I have. Kenny Schrader and I were talking at the SEMA show there in Vegas in November, a little bit there, and you know, a few other guys that I've raced with, you know, throughout the day, you know, back way back in the street stock days and some of that went dirt racing. So I've talked to them briefly. I honestly haven't put a whole lot of thought into it right now. It's just preparing cars for asphalt ovals and road races and some, you know, some Brett Taylor stuff, and I get Connor's stuff going. So, you know, kind of focus on that right now, and the dirt deal is kind of in the back of your mind, but I haven't put a whole lot of effort into it.
Well, that can always be your mulligan, right? You got to have one of those, and as long as you come away with a car and a decent finish at Oswegan, it's going to be a success.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't see guys building specially built cars for this, and I think the way that they're going to kind of limit some of the adjustments and some of the things that guys do to cars. They don't want teams building cars just for this event, you know, and tying up a whole bunch of money in a car for one race once a year. So, you know, the cars are expensive enough, and the series is expensive enough to run. I don't think we need added cost by building dirt cars for one show.
So the announcement came out, I don't know whether it came out yesterday, day before, that the province of Quebec, sounds like all the major events, including Three Rivers, are going to be canceled until the end of August. August 31st, I believe, was on that release I seen.
Yep.
Devastating news, but what would that do for the race team? What does it do for you? Would you be saying, okay, now what were you guys scheduled to do, 12 races or 13 races? If you take the Quebec races out and they don't move, because it'd be really tough to move them into September. I know there is a weekend or two in September, but that would back everything up. Would you be game to add more races in Ontario if that was the way it turns out?
Yeah, honestly, we're going to have to do whatever we need to do to satisfy NASCAR, obviously, number one, and all of our sponsors, our corporate partners, Kubota and Fast Eddie and Chocolate, from my side, from my team. I mean, we're going to have to do what we need to do. So if that means racing, you know, twice a week in September and a couple of weeks in October, then that's what we're going to have to do. But I don't know. Everything's so wide open right now, and lots of speculation out there. But I honestly don't see us getting on a racetrack until, you know, July sometime. So I don't know, honestly. I mean, I've thrown a few ideas around my owner, and, you know, and he's throwing a few back at me, but I don't know what we're going to do, but I just know we have to have a season somehow, and we got to keep out front of the marketplace for sponsors and NASCAR.
And that's the cool part with you, Jay. I know the sponsor's going to get his money's worth. One way or another, they will get their money's worth. Has NASCAR been in touch with the teams and keeping you guys abreast of what all is going on, and are they frequently getting in touch?
Yeah, we had a conference call there 2 weeks ago, just letting us know that, you know, just everything's pretty much up in the air. You know, they don't know. So, you know, they just reached out to all the teams and said they would keep us informed of whatever they, you know, whatever news they get, and whatever they're going to propose for some type of schedule. So, it's been good. It's been open communication, so that's been good. It's just a crazy time right now in the world. I mean, there's never been anything like this before where something shuts down the whole world. So it's, you know, everybody's got to stay at home, stay safe, and I'm sure everything will get back to normal sometime. We just don't know when.
Yeah, we'll just make a new normal, and that's the way it rolls. It's going to be something that none of us is going to expect. I can guarantee that.
Everything
is so different. It's going to be so foreign. But if I know anything, I can imagine it's going to be exciting. The urge to get back on that track, the urge for fans to get back in the seats and watch everything is going to be like it has never been before.
Yeah, I think the tracks are going to have to be open-minded on what they do as well. I think they're going to have to think outside the box on everything that's happened too, and figure a way to generate more fans through the gate and less nights, obviously. So it's going to be it's going to be exciting. So whatever we got to do together, work together, and let's make it happen once we get the green light to go.
I will say this about that: some of the most exciting races that I've ever seen, you know, as a fan or been a part of, are the nights where we're all delayed by rain, or on a day that's you know, maybe we were supposed to race on Saturday, but we got rained out, so we're going to race on Sunday.
Yep.
Some of those races are the most exciting races ever. I can only imagine how crazy every one of you helmet wearers are going to be if we have to push the season to July. When we get to race number one, all I can say is everybody better be in the grandstand for it, because it's going to be off the charts, because the amount of excitement of everybody getting back behind the wheel, race number one could be a messy one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there, but we may have to double up on some nights where there's other series going on at other racetracks just to get the racing in from all aspects. You know, it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be a wide open schedule, whatever it all turns out to be. But, I mean, with our teams, we're pretty open. You know, we want to run twice a week, then let's do it. So I think with the NASCAR Pinty Series teams, they always figure out whatever they throw at us, we always figure out how to make it happen. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people to satisfy, right? It's got to be everybody. The fans got to be satisfied, track, series, drivers, a lot of people to be considered when all those decisions get made. It's going to be off the hook, Jay.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be good. So whatever we got to do to get our corporate partners out there this summer, we will.
You betcha. Even if you got to drive a Kubota tractor to the track.
I'm spreading grass seed right now in one. So once they hang up with you guys, I'm going to finish before it gets totally dark here.
You're good. Jay, we won't hold you. We get you planting those seeds, buddy. You have a good one, and we thank you for your time tonight on Race Time. We sure look forward to seeing you back in that Kubota number three.
Okay, boys. Thanks. Have a good one.
You betcha. That's Jay Hathaway. He is prepared, and more prepared, probably over-prepared for the season, as most of these teams are at this time of the year. It's going to be kind of cool when things go green. Final break of the night. When we come back, a driver that spent some time in South Africa. He's got laps on already this year. We'll catch up with Cole Powell next.
I'm Doug Butler, driving the number 10, listening to Race Time Radio.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and boom.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada, Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. I want to tell you our next guest. I'll tell you what, this guy drives a Pro-Late model, drives Super Late model, drives a modified, drives a sprint car, drives whatever's got wheels and a big motor in it, and he's already got laps on in 2020. He did that in South Africa, of all places to do it, and he joins us now on the hotline. Let's welcome in Mr. Cole Powell. What's going on there, 73? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. Man, you really went for the gusto here, buddy.
Yeah, it's... I would never thought that possibly the only thing I would have raced this year is a 410 sprint car in South Africa, just before all this COVID-19 kind of hit real bad. So kind of hoping this it gets cleaned up fairly quick here and we get to go back racing. But it was quite the experience in South Africa running a 410 sprint car, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you went over there with good company too, you and your buddy Ryan Litt, the two of you is over there. Whose cars did you get in? Because I know you didn't pack that in your suitcase with you.
No, definitely wouldn't fit. And I barely had enough room for just my race gear. So the owner of Ultimate Raceway, Isaac Spies, he owns the racetrack. He owns all the cars that he had brought all the countries. There's Canada, USA, Australia, and New Zealand. And so he owns all the sprint cars. We just show up and drive, got there, you're basically your own pit crew. They give you a fuel guy and that's it. So I became a fabricator real quick, running to the parts room, trying to grab a seat that was the closest thing to fit to me. And I tell you, fabricating your own seat in a car that's got 900 horsepower for the first time isn't the best feeling, but just thankful I didn't hit the wall, and we did okay.
That'll get your attention, I guarantee it. You're looking for a phone book to sit on and a little more padding around.
Yeah, I had brought a whole bunch of foam, so I was lucky the seat that I got given to me was kind of close, but there was definitely a couple inches of foam in there for sure.
Cole, looking at, all the... I got to take my hat off to you because you did an amazing job of keeping everybody up to date on Instagram. You were the talk of Ontario racing for sure, and definitely the base. You know, everybody was kind of following along with you, not just at the racetrack. You guys had a really cool experience off the racetrack as well, traveling around and taking a look and riding around in the back of a pickup truck late at night in the middle of South Africa in the jungle. But you guys seem to have a tremendous amount of fun. Take us back to the racetrack itself, number one, because it's a 410 sprint, but not on dirt; it's on asphalt. And you guys, it wasn't just an arrive and drive deal. Like, you guys put on a race. It was it seemed like it was quite the ordeal, and it was a packed racetrack as well.
Ryan and I definitely we had a lot of fun those 2 weeks, that's for sure. It was just quite the experience. So we raced at two different tracks, one in Johannesburg, or just outside of Johannesburg, which is the Ultimate Raceway, and then one on the coast 8 hours away in Richards Bay. So Richards Bay was a small little bull ring, probably a little smaller than Sauble Beach, if people want to compare that. They had wood 2x4 pillars holding chicken wire in, and fans were sitting probably 3 feet from that. So I'm glad none of us hooked wheels and ended up in the grandstands, because that would have got kind of ugly real quick. But just the crazy car. Ryan races these cars, so I'm lucky I had him on the team, kind of helping me out with some setup stuff and how to drive these things, because they're totally different than anything I'm used to. You got that massive wing on top of you that you can move around and adjust your car and whatnot. So I was just trying to find the happy medium between burning the rear tires off the thing and doing flap wheelies down the straightaway. So I ended up kind of going to a little bit of a late model setup, which is kind of funny just because it's such a small track. And Richards Bay, they put on a hell of a show. There's tons of people. I think there was about 5,000 fans that packed into that place. And I think Izak said there was 7,000 to 8,000 fans at the other track. So it was definitely a big deal for to be in South Africa. And just coming from Canada, you don't know what to expect at all. I got the call and said, would you like to race in South Africa? Kind of laugh, and I had just naive to not even think they had racetracks there. So great facilities, great fans, and I was just really happy to be a part of it.
Oh, you got to love it. Speed-wise, that would have been more comparable to a super modified than it would be a sprint car on asphalt. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy for sure, and they definitely get up and go pretty good. They suck you back in the seat, and even on a little track. I mean, you get on the loud pedal, and it gets up and goes pretty good.
So how did the finishes turn out for you and Ryan?
I think, we ended up getting in a little bit of trouble the first night. Ryan was running third, I was running fourth, and it was just a racing deal. Ryan got in there and ended up putting a bumper to the guy in third, and it just so happened that the guy that was running third was in the owner of everything's car. So kind of the wrong guy to give a bump to, but I had a front row seat to it, and I probably would have done the same thing, and any racer that was on that track would have done the same thing. So it was just a racing deal, but they took our points away. So we would have ended up second overall in the entire tournament-style point system they had if that hadn't happened. So wasn't really there to put on a – I mean – Ryan and I are both definitely really competitive, and we wanted to win, but it was definitely just more for the experience and having a good time, and we definitely had a good time, that's for sure.
Well, you guys probably had your Canadian hockey jerseys on. That's why they took the points.
Yeah, we brought a bunch of maple syrup, a little bit of Canadian whiskey, and a bunch of Canadian flags, and I think the fans might have liked Canada the most, that's for sure.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Cole Powell's not afraid to put on a show when he gets to a racetrack.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Both you and Ryan are notable names here in Canada. Did you find fans that knew who you were when you were over there?
We noticed that a couple of weeks before, maybe in a month before, that we started getting a lot more followers on social media from South Africa. And then when we got there, people will come up and know who we are just from looking us up and just knowing that we are coming there. And we had both brought a bunch of merch and stuff like that. So I think there's definitely some Ryan Bolt and Cole Powell fans there for next year, because I believe they're going to try to put it on again next year. And we've both been invited back. So that'll be a cool deal to go back and see some familiar faces. And the other countries are great guys, too, which it was just a really fun experience. To be a part of, and Australia, and great guys to drink a few beers with. New Zealand, great bunch of guys to drink beer with, and just an overall fun time.
You gotta love it when a plan comes together. So I take it that was the first race of its kind.
Yeah, so I guess South Africa has been bringing Americans down to race there for the last I think 8 or 9 years or something like that, and it was always just World Series of Africa, South Africa versus USA. So this was the first of its kind with five nations involved, which not easy to organize at all, but they definitely did a good job. There's definitely some spots that they can improve, but that's with any series or any type of race that you're trying to put on for the first time ever, especially trying to organize a bunch of race car drivers coming from all over the world. So it was the first one, and excited to get back and try it again next year.
How cool is that? And you'll know what to take in your suitcase. You may have to take an extra suitcase, mind you, but you'll know what to take with you that you're going to need for that race car.
Yeah, exactly. Tools were a little scarce there. Jacks were like gold. If you got there early in the morning and you found a jack that actually went up and down, you definitely hit it. just some things like that. We went to the South African version of a Napa, and we bought some just basic tools and stuff like that to do your nut and bolts and some things like that. So I definitely know what I'll be bringing in my suitcase if I don't bring an extra one, that's for sure. I might even bring a seat.
Good that's idea.
Right. That's right. Bring a seat. 100%. And you need a seat that fits you in a 410 sprint car.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly the smallest person. I got a hard enough time fitting in late models, which are like a living room and Lazy Boy compared to a 410 Sprint. So that was kind of my main concern, was just getting myself in there comfortable enough where if I did get in an incident and ended up in the wall, that I wasn't going to come home with two broken knees or something like that. So just got fortunate enough with finding a seat. But I think if it goes down again next year, I'll definitely be bringing my own.
Yeah, well, there'll be lots of Canadians cheering you on next year. I can guarantee that. Leading into 2020, I know we got to wait for this to get out of the way. But what do you got on your radar 73 for this year?
Definitely the big money race, short track nationals at Jocassa. That's circled on the calendar 100%. I'd like to fill in a few more late model shows, probably over at Delaware on the odd Saturday night, just with the local show. Probably a few APC races here and there, probably at Jocassa, just to tune myself up for the big money deal. And been talking to a few teams with some Pinty stuff, and I can't really say too much about that, but hopefully I can get behind the wheel of a Pinty's car again and give that a go.
How cool is that, that you were able to go to South Africa? Add that to all of your other experience and what you've driven. And I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody that's got the experience you've got, kid.
No, it was awesome. I definitely got to throw a big shout out to Ryan Litt for throwing my name in the hat of the Canadian drivers that were going to be nominated anyway to go. So kind of lucky deal there, having him as a good buddy. So that all worked out, and they're definitely they're a different type of race car than anything I've ever drove, and I've drove a lot of race cars, but definitely a lot of fun. It's just really hard to get that right rear to plant, and then once you do get it to plant, they plant too hard, and you end up doing wheelies down the straightaway, which is something I've never experienced in my life. So
I don't know. I've seen a couple Cole Powell late models that could do wheelies. You're pretty good at making grip.
It was just such a weird, because you didn't want too much grip, because then you're just looking at the moon, and that's no good either, because then you end up landing too late and you end up in the fence. So it was crazy, and moving the wing around and just being in an open cockpit that close to everything was it was just a total different experience, and I'm just glad I got to be a part of it. And huge eye-opener and a lot more respect for open wheel. I mean, I have run open wheel modified, but that doesn't compare to a 410 Sprint.
No, absolutely. Cole, because you've done so many different types, do you know off the top of your head of how many different styles of race cars you've been in? Is that something that you keep track of?
If I sat down with a pen and paper and you gave me a couple of minutes, I could figure it out real quick. But just off the top of my head, I would say probably 10 to 15 different types of race cars that I've run in, I think.
Which absolutely.
Very, very fortunate to be able to say I've done that. And great partners behind me that allow me to do that with Tricar and Cops Buildall and DRS and TVX Construction. And my family, of course. So just fortunate that I've been able to be able to get behind the wheel of that many different types of race cars.
And everything from Daytona to down to Grand Bend Speedway, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, when you look at all
the
different sizes,
gamut.
Yeah, so it's that ratio would definitely be very impressive. It would be something, put it out there on social media. I'd love to see, you know, the actual list of styles of cars that you've driven and been competitive in. Like, you've been competitive in everything. Single thing that you've strapped into. The list would definitely be impressive, and I think the fan base would get a kick out of seeing it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll get that on either tonight or tomorrow. I'll start working on on getting a big list going of that. Yeah, I've never really thought about it. I know it's a pretty big list, but I've never actually put it down on paper and sat back and gone, wow, that is actually quite a few different types of cars.
You can just call us professors. We just gave you homework,
yeah.
Kid.
How's that feel? Homework to do. Yeah, incredible. So getting things ready in the shop, you're going to, you've got the 73 there. You'll get that ready to go for the short track nationals. But you'll be in other equipment for everything else?
Yeah. So my own late model for the short track showdown, and it's almost really ready to go. There was no damage from last year. So just excited to get back to Jocassa and do a bunch of testing, so when that Bubba Pollard shows up, he doesn't put an ass whooping on us Canadians again. Hopefully the 73 will have something for him. Other than that, the other late model that we have here, that was, well, it's actually destroyed right now. The frame's okay, but it was that last APC race at Delaware where fireworks hit and coming to the checkers or whatever lap that was. So
every lap there was fireworks. Yeah, I think at that race. Yeah,
about every lap. Yeah, other than the last one that kind of really destroyed the car. So I haven't had to ever replace a hood or not a hood, a roof, and this is the first time for that. So that's kind of something that not super proud of, but it's not often that you're changing the roof on a car.
No.
So, but I'm kind of on a standstill with that because you can't really order parts right now with the whole COVID-19 going on. So that's on a bit of a standstill. But it shouldn't take too long to get that thing back to a competitive state. And everything else that I'll be running, I'd like to get back in that Bobby Blunt super light model again at Toledo. I've talked to him a little bit over the off season, and if he doesn't sell that car, that'll be another option to run that thing. So
that thing's probably the most comparable thing you've ever driven to a 410 Sprint. That thing is an incredible piece of machinery.
Yeah, I was really fortunate enough to get hooked up with him and get in that rocket ship of a car. That thing is an absolute bullet, and yeah, you are probably right with that's the closest thing to a 410 that I've ever been in.
You're going to do any dirt? I know last year I seen you on a couple of those MAV TV broadcasts. I seen your name flash across there.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to give that a go again. It was that was an interesting experience. Get there, and nice of Christy to lend me that car to get in. And it's just such a strange deal with dirt, especially when you've never raced anything on dirt. You get 2.5 laps of practice or warm-up, whatever you want to call it, and then you're right into racing. So I think I need a few more laps to figure it out before I can get kind of competitive on the dirt, but definitely something I try again for sure. I really don't like sucking at things, and I definitely sucked at that.
Well, Cole, I'll tell you what, you're an interesting bunch of drivers inside that helmet. you do a dynamite job, my friend, and it's been great catching up with you tonight. You representing Canada awesome in South Africa, and I know I look forward to getting you on before you go next year, and definitely your impression when you get back. We'll do it after the Short Track Nationals, too, because I got a sneaky suspicion you're going to figure into that mix as well.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate you having me on the show, and we'll be talking hopefully before the Short Track Nationals. Hopefully it's a go this year. I'm really hoping that we do get to get there and get that show on, and thanks again for having me on.
Well, fingers crossed. It isn't like Norris McDonald said in the Toronto Star. He called it the Bubba Pollard benefit race. That's what he calls it.
We need to change that. We need a Canadian in victory lane this year, and I think there's a bunch of us that are sick of looking at him with the big check. So I think the Canadians are definitely going to have something this year for him.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Look out, Bubba. Here it comes. Buddy, thanks so much, Cole. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Take care.
You bet. That's Cole Powell. He had, I can't wait to see that list. He has driven everything, Junior, from a little truck at Grand Bend.
Oh, man,
all the way
I'm really
through.
Excited to see the list, actually. Like, when you think about it, you know, and every different facet that he's raced, too. Definitely one of Canada's most diverse drivers by far. I would think that he... him and DJ Kennington, I think DJ Kennington has covered the gamut, as well. But really, when you look at the diversity that he has, just an incredible list. I'm really excited to see that list. So, Cole, make sure you do that for us.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Sure hope you enjoyed the show here tonight on Racetime Radio. That's going to do it for us here tonight. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio. Thank Junior, and thank you all for tuning in, and all of our guests, some great guests tonight. Tim Terry fired it off. We heard from Nick Sheridan and Sean Pierce and Jason Hathaway and, of course, Cole Powell right there at the end. Dynamite guys, and we look forward to doing it again next Sunday night with a whole new cast of characters, and you can join us at 6:45 Eastern Time at racetimeradio.com or keep it cranked right here on Sirius XM, Channel 167 Canada Talks. You can get the show either way. And we look forward to joining you again next week and you joining us. Be safe, everybody. Stay hunkered down. It ain't time to go to the track just yet.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.